I'm going to call the Joint Review Board meeting for the tax incremental district proposed as number 5 in the city of Franklin to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Aaron Hertzberg.
Here.
Jim Tarantino.
Here.
Jim Melzer.
Here.
Dr. Felsheim.
Here.
J. Michael Bartles.
Present.
Oh, wait, he's not on yet.
He's not on.
I'm sorry.
Next up, we'll have consideration of a appointment of a public member. On behalf of the city, I'd like to put J. Michael Bartles' name into nomination.
Can I just apologize for missing TED 3 meeting? I didn't know schedule this morning. My understanding of the new Joint Review Board after the this past March is that all communities have standing committees. I don't know if any action was taken at the TED 3 meeting or if this appointment would then be a standing member for all Joint Review Boards going forward. Just a question.
Well, I think in this particular case, we held the Joint Review Board meeting for 3 differently because we have a different taxing body. So he was the member that was appointed to 3. I think if you affirm it, this being a different body than that was, just because we have a different school district rep. At this point, I think it's been the city's practice that the citizen member has maintained it's been consistent from committee to committee. It's just your previous citizen member
resigned.
So, any standing committee that they once had would have had to replace a citizen member as well. So, as far as the standing, he would continue.
The bigger issue is that it's different school districts, so you have to give the school district for this particular area an opportunity to weigh in on that citizen member.
Thank you. I just, from my own edification, Mr. Bartles, not familiar, but what's your background interest in participating in this Joint Review Board?
For 15 years, I headed up the Economic Development Commission here. For 15 years, I was vice chair and the mayor of the Community Development Authority. When the fellow that was leading the development of 200-acre business park on 51st and Ryan Road left town, I took over and finished up that project. Selected the company to market it and signed the first deal with Harley-Davidson. I've been a real estate developer for 39 years. I own property in Kenosha, Milwaukee, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Green Bay, and I'm a resident of this community since 1981.
Thank you.
Is there a second for the nomination?
No second.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, we'll have a vote. Can we do a roll call vote?
Sure. Aaron Hertzberg?
Aye.
Jim Tarantino?
Aye.
Jim Melzer?
Aye.
Dr. Felsheim?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Next, we'll elect a chair. Are there any nominations?
Nominate Aaron Hertzberg to do the honor.
I'll second.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, we'll have a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Great. For the next couple items, I'll actually turn it over to Don Gunderson, who's the city's consultant from Ehlers & Associates, to help walk us through the organizational portion.
Thank you. The next item is to discuss your responsibilities as the Joint Review Board. I know there's a few of you who serve on many of these throughout the region, specifically the county and the technical college, so I'm just reviewing old information to you. But for the benefit of the others, you are here because you represent or have been asked to be a member as a citizen, but represent the taxing districts. You're overlapping to the city of Franklin, and so your taxing authorities will forego property taxes while the district is in place. So you have a vested interest in the creation of this this district as a result of that. So as part of your responsibilities, you are here today as your organizational meeting. You will be provided a project plan and a discussion of what the projects entailed in that district are to be or expected to be. And you will be provided all of the public record for any action that's undertaken. So you will receive copies of the Plan Commission resolutions, if approved, as well as the City Council, if approved. And you'll be asked to review that and make a finding that the creation of the district fits into the statutory findings for tax increment. The information that you'll be will be presented with will help support and document that. You will then be called back for, if it is approved by the Plan Commission and, again, by the City Council, you'll be brought back for the final consideration, and your action is ultimately the final determination of the district moving forward. So those are your responsibilities. Again, you will receive information electronically or by mail of all the public record. And but if there are questions as we go through the process, you certainly can reach out to city staff or our office, and we'll help in any way that we can. So when you do come back for your final decision, you're comfortable in your action.
Great. Any questions about responsibilities? Hearing none, we'll move on. You want to set us up to talk about the project plan, please?
Yes. You all received a copy of this, I believe, by mail. I do have extra copies if anybody would like to have one today. Do you have one? Okay.
Thank you.
This is the creation proposed for Tax Increment District Number 5 within the city of Franklin. They currently have two other active districts now, 2 and 4. So this would be, 3 and 4. This would be the third active district. The area that is being considered is found on, on page 8 of the project plan, the proposed district boundaries. In looking at that map, it's the shaded area in kind of green. It's located to the northwest of Loomis Road, and it's partially north of Rawson and some south of Rawson, but again northwest of Loomis Road. That's the area. The parcels, it does fit the findings for a mixed-use district in that we are including full parcels. The city has the authority to create the district because they're well under their 12% capacity for TIF districts. It is a mixed-use district. The proposal is a mixed-use district, and the concept is that it will, at least 50% of the area is suitable for a combination of commercial and residential development. And as well as any support going to residential development, that development fits into the statutory requirement of density, that there are, it's no more than 35% of the area of the entire district, and it's a density of at least 3 units per acre. So that is the boundary that's being considered. There's additional mapping on page 9 shows the existing uses. Do you have that map as well? So this is just kind of an aerial photo of the area. There is currently, and I guess, Aaron, I'll let you kind of describe what's currently in the sites, if you don't mind. You have a...
Sure. If you want to point the... what is the upper left on the map, northwest, encompasses county lands where currently the Rock Sports Complex exists. And there's some additional parcels that have been incorporated there that lie between, to the north, that lie between the Rock Sports Complex and the city boundary to the north. Across 76th Street, there's additional properties that are included, again, following the boundary of the city that associate, although there's not planned development as part of the project that's proposed as part of this project, those lands are associated with that and are in line with the city boundary. Between what is Crystal Ridge Drive today and Loomis Road, Dawn, if you wouldn't mind pointing that out to folks.
That little piece in here?
Is a piece of land that has been parceled off from the Loomis Road right-of-way from the Department of Transportation and have been privately acquired. So that land is included as well. South of Rawson, there's currently no activity on that land. South of Rawson is a former horse farm and some scattered residential. Incorporates the entire Ballpark Commons development proposal, which has received quite a bit of publicity, so hopefully folks are familiar with that, as well as a few outlying parcels to the north and east that lie between the project boundary areas and the development proposal. I'm sorry, between the development proposal and the city boundaries. So the proposal here includes that those properties as well. And those properties, I should mention as well, even though they're not part of the Ballpark Commons zoning district, the planned development district zoning that was put in place for that project, they are zoned for commercial use in the future.
So the area that is being proposed to be included is about 167 acres. The present tax base on the property that's currently located in there is roughly $3 million. So it's the goal of the city to prepare the site and put in costs that could potentially create new development. We'll talk a little bit about the project cost, and then we'll talk a little bit about the proposed development and the value of that. So on page 20 of the project plan is a listing of the types of costs that have been identified that could be eligible for undertaking within the scope of the project at this time. It would be undertaken over multiple phases. There are costs that have been identified for the need for sanitary sewer, storm sewer, water projects, street projects, some parking enhancements, some improvements and relocation of a methane collection system that's currently, this is formerly a landfill site, so there's those methane collection systems may need to be enhanced. There could be some remediation and excavation of soils. There's also been identified some improvement costs for the Oak Leaf Trail, perhaps some privacy berms and development incentives have been identified as well. Now, the only cost that will be assigned to the TIF related to the infrastructure would be those costs that are not going to be specially assessed to the benefiting properties. The city does have a special assessment policy and practice that benefiting properties would pay their fair share of any utility cost. And then it's those costs beyond that that would be borne by the TIF district to support the project. And any development incentives that would be provided to encourage development and enhance the development of the site, the city would be undertaking, and they have been engaging in due diligence to ensure that there's a need for assistance to the project, that if there is a gap to support the project for development. So they'll continue that due diligence, and if it's determined that incentives are provided, there would be a developer's agreement in place to provide that. The proposal is that any development incentives to this project would be done on a PAYGO basis. So the only obligations that the city would upfront finance would be the infrastructure pieces, and then any contributions to the project would be paid back over the course of the tax collection on the properties that are improved, and then would be paid back to support the developer at that time. It's identified that about $22 million of project cost could be undertaken within this site. This list has it identified at 26, about $4.5 million of these costs would be special assessable, or the estimate to be special assessable, so that's how we come to the $22 million in project cost. The finding is that if those costs are deemed to be necessary in order to make the project happen, the development potential is about $100 million on page 24 of the project plan. So I know these numbers can't be read from the distance, but there's the type of scope and we'll look at this on a map, is an indoor sports venue, approximately $10 million. There's what we refer to as a sports village, which is a combination of commercial and some residential, and some additional commercial, some hotel development, and what we refer to as garden apartments. So to kind of give you an idea of this is probably the location of the infrastructure. Let's look at the development map. Page 17. Oh, okay, we'll flip that over. So the value of about $100 million that we've identified in the locations, the multi-purpose indoor sports facility would be located approximately here. There are some parking enhancements. The what we're referring to as the sports village is this area along here, which would be both commercial and some residential. The lower part south of Rawson would encompass, is that where the hotel is?
Yep.
Okay.
The larger building, the L-shaped.
Okay. The hotel, some additional commercial property, and the garden apartments, residential mixed-use component or multifamily component would be located there. Based upon cost and project scope, the value, again, is estimated about $1 million for the entire scope of that redevelopment. The location and the cost of the infrastructure is included on a map on page 18. Again, it's the utility cost, and any development incentives could encompass different components within the project area, and again, would be based on an analysis and the pro forma analysis provided by the developer, and that due diligence has started and will continue until the final decision to make any support to the project. The based upon the assumptions on cost, the assuming all of the costs are undertaken and all of the value is generated, the TID district would be able to support the project cost, and based upon the assumptions at this time, no change in tax rate and no appreciation on value of property is the assumptions that we've used. The district would ultimately, based upon today's estimate, would support and be able to close in 2034, which is long or shorter by about 3 years from its statutory life of the district. So that's kind of a summary of the details in the project plan and the project itself. We're happy to answer any questions along with staff that you may have. And again, if some other questions come up subsequent to this meeting, you can certainly reach out to the members of staff or our team to ask those.
Other questions? Jim?
Mr. Chair, the development assumptions assume $10.2 million in taxable increment on the indoor sports venue, which is located on property tax exempt county park land. So the assumption is that there's some payment in lieu of tax agreement being entered into between the city and the developer for guaranteeing the creation of that increment. Just confirming it may be true to others.
Yes. I think that the city's had discussions with the assessor on how that might be taxed. If it's not anything that's deemed not taxable, then there would be discussions on payment in lieu, or the scope of the project would have to be narrowed accordingly.
Are there other questions?
Just a review for me again on page 9, the existing properties that are there or that are the major ones, and then what happens to those?
As far as what's located on the sites?
Yes.
I think, and Aaron, maybe you can address this. We have a listing of all the parcels on page 10, and there's about $1 million worth of improvements located on the properties now. I don't know, Aaron, if you can specifically address where they are and
well, what, you said the Rock is there now?
The existing Rock Sports Complex.
Yeah, and what's happening, what will happen to them then?
Sure. So the there's a management agreement currently in place between the Rock Sports Complex and the county. Mm-hmm. And the same individuals that are managing the Rock Sports Complex are bringing forth the major development proposal as Ballpark Commons. Okay. And so a majority of that area would have added development mm-hmm. attached to it, and then also development on some surrounding parcels for a major mixed-use redevelopment to encompass the massive majority of the TIF district area. And then there's a few outlying parcels that, again, in the future land use planner are slated for commercial development. So we've included those as well.
And then am I, just out of curiosity, am I missing something? Page 9, when I share with page 17, it looks to the northwest there. There's a small corner, but it doesn't appear to be on page 17. Is there any?
Sure. The...
Is that just a continuation of the sports
I just want to make
village,
sure.
Or, yeah, this year.
That year?
Yeah.
So the question is about lands east of 76th Street that are included in the proposed TIF district but are not part of the Ballpark Commons development proposal. The lands east of 76th Street are part of the other privately held parcels that are slated in the future land use plan for commercial development. They are not part of the currently proposed Ballpark Commons development project, but they lie between the project boundary and the city boundary, somewhat of an island outside of that. And so in the creation of the TIF district, the proposal is to include those lands. Those lands are within the city of Franklin, most closely associated with the lands where the Ballpark Commons development proposal will occur. And we felt that including them would make sense for the purpose of this project.
Is there residential housing there now? Or can
there's sort of a mix of uses on that site, including an auto body shop.
Thank you.
And Mr. Tarantino, there is a note on the bottom of our development assumptions for that issue you raised. With regard to the tax status of the sports complex, and the statement here says indoor sport venue value reflected assumes a taxable for this analysis. If tax exempt due to location on county owned land, a comparable pilot will be necessary to meet the cash flow projections of this analysis.
So, and I wonder if you would recap really quickly the TIF is set up as sort of a two-tiered system between government obligation bonds and PAYGO. I wonder if you could highlight the numbers associated with each
Certainly.
Of those and talk about why it's put in place like that.
Yeah, if you turn to page 23 of the project plan, we've identified the method for financing. Again, tax increment districts are created as a tool to finance economic development, and the collection of the future tax is generated on those improvements will be what's used to support the payback of any upfront cost. So on page 23, we've looked at the piece that is necessary to do the utility financing, and that would be the first probably cost incurred sometime next year if this entire project moved forward. About $11 million of utility cost would be those non-taxable portions, assuming all the utilities are put in at one time. So that would be done. The city would enter into a financing to do that, and they have alternatives. They can use general obligation financing. They could use they've historically funded some of their TIF projects with advances, internal advances. They have that option too. For purpose of this analysis, we've just identified a general obligation financing and a bond for over a 20-year time period. I think we did 20, maybe we did 15. So that would be the exposure, risk exposure that the city would be taking on, because if the revenues are not available to pay that back, they would be obligations of the city. However, because of the magnitude of the project and the developer's agreement, there would be assurances and guarantees to make that happen and make certain before any costs are borrowed to do that. The other pieces are municipal revenue obligations. They are, as I said, that risk then is transferred to the developer. The developer would recover any contributions over a period of time. They can monetize that in some fashion and then recover that gap financing in order to make the project economically viable for them. Again, I mentioned that the city is doing due diligence to ensure the need for that. That we've broken out into two different pieces, assuming that there may be, and again, that may be broken out farther depending on how the obligations are put into place and when projects are undertaken and timing of those. But we've identified now into two different components. And then the last piece is final phase would be potentially to assist the county in the recovery of costs related to the methane, and it would probably be done with a note agreement that the city would undertake and pay the county back for some of the methane gas relocation and improvements on the site. So those are the pieces of financing. At this point, the only one that would really be any risk to the city would be the upfront cost for the utilities.
Are there other questions from members? Hearing none, looks like the next item is to set a next meeting date. Dawn, do you want to provide some advice about how this will get laid out in the schedule of other projects?
Yeah, as far as timing, I didn't bring our timeline. This is scheduled to go to this evening at 7:00 is the public hearing before the Plan Commission, and you're all welcome to come back to be a participant in that. It is being held down the road in the municipal court building, is that correct? At 7 this evening. And then it's scheduled to go, if approved at that point, the Plan Commission does have a resolution on their agenda. It would be September 6th before the Common Council. So if the Common Council acts on the 6th, then the next step would be to reconvene this group. You do have a public notice requirement of at least 5 days before you meet. And that, what is your paper? Are you...
And that's a week in advance.
So if they approved it on the 6th, we could notice the paper either that Wednesday or Thursday to have a in the paper by the 15th, and then if we count 5 days out. The week of the 20th of September, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, is that... The 20th works?
Is that
15
days?
It's 5 days, a 5 day notice. So, yeah, the 20th will be the earliest.
Works for me as well. Other members?
I can't make the 20th.
The September 20th?
September. The 21st?
Okay. Let's look at other days that week.
This group can meet any time of the day. That doesn't have to be, well, obviously we're earlier than some. But yeah, any time during the day, it works too.
But I heard Mr. Mills.
We can't do the
20th. All on the 20th?
We can't do the 20th. Other days that week that work, I'm fairly flexible.
21st,
22nd work.
Okay.
21st is definitely better.
So can we look at something in the afternoon on the 21st, Jim?
Sure.
Mike, are you good?
I'm good on the 21st and 22nd, yeah.
Okay, 21st in the afternoon, it looks like we're looking at.
2:00.
We'll set 2:00. Two p.m., September 21st, same location. So again, we're not taking any action on the plan tonight. We appreciate the overview. It's an introductory meeting to understand how this process is going to move forward. We've got a plan commission meeting this evening at 7 o'clock at the municipal court building. There's also a public hearing as part of that. The public at large is encouraged to participate. And then there'll be a council meeting on September 6th. So hopefully folks will participate in that as well. And then see the joint review board back here if it's approved by those two groups on September 21st at 2 p.m. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.